Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association. Teaching, learning, leading.
When neo-Nazis and anti-fascists clashed on the streets of Charlottesville, the world took note. 600 state police were on duty, along with local and county police, and eventually 125 members of the National Guard. But that did not prevent violent fights, the use of chemical irritants like bleach, multiple injuries, and one death caused by a driver who slammed into a crowd of counter-protesters.
Going forward, this is a new day and something we're going to have to wrestle with.
Brian Moran is the state's Secretary of Public Safety.
You know, best practices are changing, frankly, because what we learned August 12th, that crowd that came to Charlottesville was organized. They were communicating amongst themselves. I mean, they were coming with violent intentions.
Moran insisted the state was not out to blame anyone for what happened, but the task force report faults Charlottesville for failing to impose limits when it issued a permit to rally organizer Jason Kessler.
Much of what occurred might have been prevented if there had been a robust permitting process. You know, location, how many people can demonstrate at a particular location, what can be brought to a demonstration, such as weapons, the duration of the event.
At the time, Charlottesville officials insisted the Second Amendment prevented them from barring firearms from the protest site. But Moran disagrees.
Our task force was aided by a law school dean. He said, based on his study of constitutional law, that we were able to prohibit firearms.
And he adds, even sticks used to uphold banners or signs can be banned. Moran said Charlottesville was warned that cars or trucks could also be used as weapons.
That was the first time that actually occurred, but the state police had shared information that it would be a possibility.
In light of that risk, he says, communities must now block vehicle access to protest sites and surrounding areas.
The streets blocked with heavy equipment, such as dump trucks, school buses. No more sawhorses or yellow tape. Not when vehicle homicide is a potential. You have to at least prepare for it.
In fact, the task force said too little had been done to prepare state and local police for a range of possibilities.
For instance, on Saturday morning, I observed the entry of approximately 30 men dressed in fatigues and armed with semi-automatic rifles. What happens when that occurs? We need to make sure that there is appropriate training, tabletop exercises.
Both the city and state have noted their police were in street uniforms, not initially prepared to fight violent protesters. This after a Klan rally in July when state police were criticized for wearing riot gear. Before Unite the Right, the task force said both state and city officials drafted plans, but they used different formats, making it hard to compare and collaborate. In future, the report proposes a single plan that defines roles and responsibilities, spells out the chain of command, and clearly explains to law enforcement when to step in. Many of those who were at the rally have complained that police did little to break up fights. Were state or city officers ordered to stand down, allowing mayhem, so the governor could declare a state of emergency and police could clear the park? Moran doesn't think so.
There is no such direction that I am aware of.
Another answer could come from former U.S. Attorney Tim Hafey, who has promised his report, commissioned by the city, in early December. I'm Sandy Houseman.